This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Recovery teams back at it in Central Texas, looking for the more than 170 people still missing after this week's deadly flooding. The death toll stands at 110 confirmed killed in the flash floods. Three people were killed in Tuesday in Ruidoso, New Mexico. That area recently scarred by wildfires, making it more susceptible to flooding. Another large aerial attack overnight by Russia on Ukraine. ABC's Patrick Grevel is at the foreign desk with more.
Ukrainian authorities say this is a record-breaking attack by Russia, launching well over 700 drones and missiles across Ukraine. This is actually the third time in the last 10 days that we've seen Russia launch a record-breaking attack. This time, President Zelensky has said that Ukraine was able to bring down the vast majority of the drones.
President Zelensky at the Vatican thanking Pope Leo for his help with Ukrainian children orphaned by the war. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has cleared the way for the state to institute a ban on conversion therapy. The court ruled that a Republican-controlled legislative committee's rejection of a state agency rule that would ban the practice of conversion therapy for LGBTQ+ people was unconstitutional. The 4-3 ruling from the court comes amid the national battle over LGBTQ+ rights. Governor Tony Evers issued nearly 24 partial vetoes last week when he signed the state budget into law. Perhaps the most significant, according to the governor himself, was the removal of a 2029 deadline to close Green Bay Correctional Institution. Evers has proposed closing the 1898 prison as part of a broader overhaul of the state's correction system. He proposed that plan back in February and said it would cost $500 million. But last week, the governor said the legislature hadn't engaged with his plan or proposed their own, and he objected to settling a firm deadline without one in place. He removed the 2029 deadline to close Green Bay Correctional. Still, the budget keeps $15 million to begin planning for a prison realignment and potential closure of the prison. A proposed bill that aims to make it easier to access government records is currently awaiting action in the Wisconsin State Legislature. The legislation would make it easier for groups who pursue legal action over government records to win back legal fees for their expenses. It states that legal fees must be awarded to the requester of government records if a court determines that the filing of the lawsuit was a substantial factor in the decision to release those records. The bill was approved by the state Senate in May and advanced to a hearing in the state assembly in June. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
A win for the Miz and McGill. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Dodgers wrap up their series this afternoon in Milwaukee. Last night, the Miz, rookie pitcher Jacob Mizorowski, followed by Jared Koenig, Abner Uribe, and closer Trevor McGill, held the struggling Dodgers to just one run in a 3-1 win over LA last night. It was enough to leave the Dodgers' Clayton Kershaw at a loss for words.
I mean, the three guys that came out of the pen for them, plus him, I mean, I don't think we saw a fastball under 98 today as a team. I mean, this was just a tough game.
The Dodgers have now lost 5 in a row. The Brewers' Mizorowski gave up a solo home run to LA's leadoff batter, Shohei Ohtani, then proceeded to strike out 12 Dodger batters over 6 innings to beat the 3-time Cy Young winner, Clayton Kershaw. I spoke to the Miz after the game.
You know, I saw something online that he didn't know who I was, so I hope that he knows me now, you know. It's kind of cool.
That's Brewers pitcher Jacob Mizorowski. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Dry and sunny today with calm winds and comfortable conditions with highs in the low 80s. And it won't be too humid either. That holds off until tomorrow, becoming more muggy, partly sunny. Highs will make it to the mid 80s. Then a chance of some storms tomorrow afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 71 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor, Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to like bring it back to people talking to each other about what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as Pat Kreitlow of Mornings with PK and Trigvi Olsen, Senior Advisor at LP, joins us to discuss national and state issues and a what's worse on pizza.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We got baseball coming up in just a little bit. Crew hosting the Dodgers again. Our broadcast starts at 12:35. You can listen to the game, but you need to listen on terrestrial radio. So catch all the action on WBZH in Hayward, WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN here in Racine and Kenosha, and WCQM in Park Falls. Crew hosting the Dodgers today. Our broadcast starts at 12:35. Coming up this hour, no more shoes. We'll talk about flying shoes, flying with shoes, shoes flying, in just a little bit.
Shoe fly shoe.
After the news at the bottom of the hour, we will come back with audio survey, as we always do. A little opportunity to take a cleansing breath, get away from the news, and have a couple laughs.
Yeah.
So today's audio survey is, do you pajama?
Or do you pajama?
Or do you not at all?
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe you wear something else.
Hey, all I ask is that the responses stay not TMI.
That would
and
be nice.
FCC compliance.
That is always important. Yes. So do you pajama is our audio sorbet coming up after 10:30.
Yeah.
And we will wrap up the show as we always do with this shouldn't be a thing. Today it's is a rose by any other name really a rose? A rose is a rose is a rose. Is it?
Yeah, I'm not calling it that completely. That's a long
title. Long title. But that's coming up around 10:51-ish. So stick around for that. Great news, everybody.
Yeah?
Great news.
What's up?
The mass deportations will continue, and they're not going to spare anybody, but it's all good because Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins has the answer on what's going to happen. Calvin, I believe we have a clip from Brooke Rollins. Let's take a listen, please.
There's been a lot of noise in the last few days and a lot of questions about where the president stands in his vision for farm labor. The first thing I'll say is the president has been unequivocal that there will be no amnesty. And I think that's very, very important. I and the rest of our cabinet certainly support that, effectuate that, and make sure that happens every single day. The second thing to your question about mass deportations, the president and I have spoken about that once or twice, and he has always been of the mindset that at the end of the day, the promise to America to ensure that we have a 100% American workforce stands, but we must be strategic in how we are implementing the mass deportations so as not to compromise our food supply.
Yeah.
Ultimately, the answer on this is automation,
yes,
also
yes,
some reform within the current governing structure.
Okay.
And then also, when you think about, there are 34 million able-bodied adults in our Medicaid program.
There it is.
There are plenty of workers in
there
America, but we just have to make sure we're not compromising today, especially in the context of everything we're thinking about right now. So no amnesty under any circumstances.
No.
Mass deportations continue, but in a strategic and intentional way as we move our workforce toward more automation and toward a 100% American workforce.
Jane, really quick question as a follow-up, because I wish I was there right now. Because
I would
ask Secretary Rollins, I wanted to call her Brooke, Secretary Brooke, the following question. Do you feel like you could describe the last, we're now six months in this administration. Would you describe the immigration policy as intentional and with good, like as she described it, with good with intention and proper planning and whatnot? Would you call it that? Would you say that?
It's been a mess.
It's been a mess.
It's been an absolute disorganized nightmare.
So what leads you to believe that they will handle what she's talking about right now with any sort of measure of long-term planning?
None. Yeah, I have very little confidence in that. But I think the really important piece there is the 36 million people who are on Medicaid who apparently don't deserve to get those benefits because you're lazy. So good news. There's jobs going to be waiting for you.
In the fields. Yep.
We have talked to Will Sue, who is a ginseng farmer in Wisconsin. We have talked about how labor intensive it is in that specific instance to grow ginseng.
Yes.
They have to be tended by humans.
Yes.
There is no way right now, and correct me if I'm wrong, maybe there is, but I don't believe there is. There is no way right now to automate the work that those ginseng workers are doing. There just isn't.
Well, I listened to a response video to this yesterday, and the woman clearly said on here on the video that the jobs that are automated in the farming world have already been done.
Right.
There is a certain point to which humans need to be in the process. Okay. So let's take that perfectly logical statement, Jane, and let's put it to the side and pretend like it's a lie. Fake news. So in order for farmers then to automate more, or maybe give small farms the opportunity to automate more because they can't afford to do it, so that's why they actually have people on their teams, they're probably going to need incentives, tax credits, tax breaks, maybe even, you know, just the ability to purchase with maybe a governmental loan that you can spread over more time at a lower rate. With certain things that say, like, hey, you must do X, Y, and Z to get this to be qualified for the...
Yeah.
All right, well, that's going to be impossible now because you've taken all the ability to take tax money, divert it into programs for farmers, because you're allowing billionaires to write off their private planes. So I don't know. Once again, this is the administration of great intentions, but with no plan whatsoever. And by the way, I also just want to say something real quick here because I know I'm getting real, real squirrely today. This narrative of the quote able-bodied on Medicaid is never fully fleshed out to talk about the fact that individuals who are on Medicaid aren't, this isn't 36 million people sitting on their butts, eating chips, playing video games, doing nothing and collecting a check. These are people who have jobs too.
Yes.
These are people who work for companies who we give tremendous tax breaks to, who say you should go on your state Medicaid program because our insurance isn't good or we don't want to cover you in the first place.
Hello, Walmart.
So really when it comes down to, let's really talk about those 36 million able-bodied people, because I'm sure they would love to have a job that was better paying, that gave better benefits, but we don't require that in this country. Therefore, they have to go on state Medicaid and they're still working. They're the working poor and they're the people you now just want to quit their jobs and go work in the fields, probably for no benefits
and no insurance
and probably less money. I mean, this is shameful again. This is disgusting. And she stands there with this might in her voice to say, like, we will. I mean, I've never heard a person speak with more confidence of draconian, horrific treatment of individuals in mass deportations with no amnesty, But man, we're going to get people working.
Well, like the lazy people.
Yeah,
the lazy people.
So we're gonna drive to Walmart. We're gonna once ICE gets rid of all the undocumented people and that's all done, you know, America then starts becoming great. It will only get better when they redirect those ICE agents to businesses across this country to snatch those workers who are on Medicaid off their jobs, whether it's the assembly lines of Amazon or the warehouses of Walmart, and put them in the fields and say, "Hey, I like avocados. Keep picking." What is this?
855-752-4842. If you would like to join the conversation, Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins yesterday says, don't worry, we're going to continue mass deportations, no amnesty, and worried about all the immigrants that are picking produce in our fields. Don't worry about it. We have people on Medicaid who are going to do that, apparently. According to this administration, 855-752-4842. Sue from Franklin texting in, listening on WAUK. This is a thing that frustrates me. Reporters don't ask hard questions to this administration. And if they do, they get some BS answer. They don't push back and ever ask the tough questions. You're absolutely right.
Correct.
And
correct.
They don't do follow-ups.
No.
They just take the answer and then someone else moves on. I would love to see some other reporter continue the follow-up question from the previous reporter.
Unfortunately, and this is the thing, is where you have to separate the reporter almost from the media outlet, because I am sure that these individuals want to ask the follow-ups and pressure for hard answers and really get, I mean, and it, either get an answer or expose them for being liars and frauds, which Brooke Rollins is. But they have bosses, and those bosses have bosses, and those bosses have shareholders.
And they want access.
Or they also have buddies in the White House, and they're being told, we don't want to lose our access to the White House. Just go easier. I'm not telling you can't do it. Just go. But what's easier then? Where's the definition then? And that's the hard part, is that I guarantee you that a lot of the individuals in that White House press corps want the truth. They want transparency. They want answers. But they're having their hands tied by the corporate outlets they work for. And
there's certainly a piece of that in there.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. 855-752-4842. Dinah from the Wausau area is on the phone. Good morning, Dinah. Thanks for joining us. What do you want to say about this?
Hello, this is Dave.
Oh, Dave. Go ahead, Dave. Sorry.
On the topic of the Medicare and Medicaid issue, I have a renter in my house who's like 58 years old. He's about 375 pounds. Obviously, he's on Medicaid, and he's also on full disability. He works part-time, like 4 hours every morning. So if they take a disability, if they take Medicaid, how is he going to pay for his medical care? And say he works for Sue's Ginseng, he's going to have a heart attack out in the field. Who's going to drag his body off? Yeah. Is that going to be a workers' comp claim?
Yeah, I just feel like this administration likes to come out and say, here's the fix. Super easy. Let's move on. Without, again, and I've gone back to this from the beginning, they don't look at what happens if you do A. Then what is the potential B? What is C? What is D? What are consequences from these decisions? I don't think they look that far.
No. And Dave, thank you so
appreciate
much.
Appreciate it, Dave.
So much for calling. I'll give you the canned response that would come out of the Trump administration if your renter had to go in the field and, God forbid, passed away while working. They would say, it's a terrible thing that happened, but some people just aren't meant for that kind of work, I guess. Or it was a terrible thing that happened, but he did what he could to help us. It would never be an admission of guilt.
Ever.
Of wrongdoing in their planning. Planning. I'm sorry. I use that word very loosely. But it would be because they don't care about those 36 men. They would have them work for free. They would take them off Medicaid immediately and throw them in the field and say, work and be happy you've got the job.
And
you can eat some food from the field too while you're at it.
Well, and the other thing, and we've talked about this previously, how are they going to determine who deserves to be on Medicaid or not? Are they meeting individually with these 36 million people? No.
No.
From what I understand, it is going to be about the paperwork.
Yep.
That's how they're going to filter through who should get Medicaid or not without knowing the specific cases and what is involved.
MyVote.wi.gov. Talk to your leaders. Talk to your representatives.
Give them a call.
Give them a call.
Say hi. See how they're doing.
Be nice.
When we return, shoes.
I love
flying.
Them. Yeah.
Flying shoes.
Oh.
All coming up. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter, experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single-game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We're born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Ever since I started the recombobulation area, I've written an in-depth breakdown of every new edition of the Marquette University Law School poll. The newest poll asks about a range of topics, whether Tony Evers should run for a third term, where people stand on Donald Trump's economic policies, and a host of issues relating to the state budget. The poll paints a picture of a polarized Wisconsin. Many people are very dug into their partisan camps, which is perhaps to be expected in the most evenly divided state in the nation. But there are a number of issues polled that do have the support of more than two-thirds of Wisconsin voters. Those include extending Medicaid coverage for new moms, legalizing marijuana, making major increases in state aid for special education, providing mental health services in schools, allowing citizen-led ballot initiatives, and banning cell phones in schools. What do most of these issues have in common? They are policies being advanced by Democrats in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
And welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. And now, if you have the Civic Media app, you can not only call and text directly from the app, but you can leave us a voice note. So do that as well. And again, join us at 855-752-4842. After the 10:30 news, it's Audio Sorbet, where we get away from the news and just talk about silly things for a little bit so we can all take a collective mental breath.
Yes.
Do you pajama?
Do you pajama?
Do you pajama? That's what we're wondering about. I'm not trying to get any visual images or anything. It's just what we're... Do you pajama? There are people who love pajamas. They say, I see at Christmas time, it's all by pajamas. So we're talking about pajamas after 10:30, and then we'll wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Is a Rose by any other name still a rose? Is a rose is a rose?
His edition.
Edition of Tisbet. That's around 10:51. This came by, and I think it's something we can all go, yay. We can all agree on this, I hope.
Yeah.
We don't have to take our shoes off anymore.
Like
when you go through the airport.
Like immediately?
According to WLWT5 reporter Sean McKinnon, at least in Kentucky, a surprise midweek policy change in effect at airports across the country. If you are flying, You can now keep your shoes on while going through TSA. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem says TSA put the policy of no shoes into effect in 2006, almost 20 years ago. This is all goes back to 2001. And the one guy who tried to set explosives in his shoes on fire, Richard Reed.
Wow.
Didn't work, but it was enough. This was, again, 2001 to institute this policy. So we have all, if you fly, if you've flown anywhere in the last 20 years, you know this, about the taking off of the shoes. Now I guess we don't have to do that anymore. Homeland Security Kristi Noem says new technology like biometric scanning makes shoe removal obsolete. We've added new scanners, new technologies, more TSO officers in some areas. Real ID also gives us another layer of security, knowing who is going through our checkpoints and who isn't. When asked if the no-shoes policy was security theater, Noem said everything the TSA does and requires their travelers to do has always been necessary.
Until this very moment when it wasn't necessary.
When it wasn't necessary
anymore.
Why
do they even talk sometimes, Jane? God.
Noem says rules like taking out your laptops and the liquids and bags are still in place for now, but Homeland Security is reviewing them.
Great.
So that might change too.
You know, I'm just going to say this right now. If this would have been the Biden administration doing such a measure, my thought would have been shrug. Okay, why did I just pay $75 for TSA pre-check? The fact that the Trump administration is doing it, it's now what my answer is. Shrug. Why did I pay $75? So I'm just going to say this. I didn't care either way who did this. I just think it's ridiculous that after nearly 20 years, still had to, which I'll tell a short story.
Okay.
A couple years ago, I was flying and they were very, very understaffed at the check-in. And at one point, a lady just gets up and says out loud, "Keep your laptops in your bag, keep your shoes on your feet, keep your belts on. We're not doing that today." And I'd always thought that this seemed like rather arbitrary, these policies.
Yes.
That declaration from a TSA worker confirmed my beliefs that it's Tuesday. Leave the belts on. It's fun.
It's interesting that you say that, because when I flew to see my friend in Texas in March, in Milwaukee, I had to take them off. Not in Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it really did seem to be kind of arbitrary, depending upon where you were.
Yeah.
But at least for my husband, who has a spinal cord injury, and he is not very bendy.
Yeah.
That was truly a pain.
Yes.
Taking his shoes off and putting them back on is not a poof, poof, slide him on, slide him off. That's not how he has a spinal cord injury. It affects his life.
Yeah.
So this is nice. But too, that's why we had global entry. So we were able to get around that.
Yep. And I have TSA pre-check. And I also would, towards the end, what I would do is, even in cold weather, I would travel in shorts, flip-flops, and a t-shirt. There was as little to take off as possible. I could flip the shoes off and put them back on. Because if you're in Milwaukee, you're always getting caught in the recombobulation area. That's a plug for Dan Schaefer. Trying to get all your stuff off the conveyor belt.
Yep.
Cause it goes from, oh, I've just got a backpack to four things of crud.
Yeah. Of stuff.
So yeah, I don't know. It's like, great. This could have happened 15 years ago.
And by the way, Drake Bentley in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, recombobulation area to remain at Mitchell Airport after shoe policy change. So we will still have a place to recombobulate.
Also,
even without the removal of shoes.
And if you can't do that at the airport because you'd need a ticket, you can always recombobulate with us on Fridays at 10:20 or 10 o'clock with Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's award-winning political editor.
You can also subscribe to the recombobulation area.
See, Dan, how we did that? We turned this entire story into a plug.
It's a deal, though.
Yes, it is.
It's a great deal.
Absolutely.
All right, we have news coming up next, and then when we return, as we promised or threatened...
Audio sorbet, a promise or a threat.
We're not sure. Do you pajama? That's coming up. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on this Civic Media Radio Network.
Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I'm gonna fly like an eagle, free, ride through the river, You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Universities of Wisconsin President Jay Rothman announced his proposal to increase tuition for resident undergraduates by up to 5% for the 2025-26 academic year. Rothman's proposal would increase tuition by 4% at all universities, with an optional 1% additional for a maximum of 5%. All universities, except UW-Green Bay, plan to adopt the additional 1% if the proposal is approved by the Board of Regents, which will consider the plan Thursday. Further, UW-River Falls is seeking an additional increase as part of an ongoing effort to support student success initiatives, which would bring its resident undergraduate increase to 5.8%. The region's vote on Rothman's proposal comes after lawmakers and Governor Tony Evers reached agreement on a new state budget for the next 2 years starting July 1st. Under the budget, the UWs would receive a funding increase of about $256 million, much of which is dedicated to specific initiatives. State funding represents approximately one-fifth of the UW's total revenues. Compared to UW comprehensive peers, resident undergraduate tuition increased just 7.7% during the 10-year period from 2015 to 2025, well below neighboring states, which ranged from increases of 21.7% to 28.8% during that same time period. Overall, the total proposed cost of attendance for resident undergraduates will increase on average of 3.8% when segregated fees and room and board costs are considered. The regents approved segregated fees in April. Universities would increase non-resident undergraduate tuition by either the same percentage or same dollar amount as resident undergraduate tuition under the proposal. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Actor Mark Ruffalo has taken shots at podcaster Joe Rogan, insinuating that Rogan is late to the game with his ICE raid outrage. The Kenosha-born Ruffalo said it's a little late now to pretend like Project 2025 didn't exist and wasn't the playbook all along, saying about Rogan, you are either not that smart or not that dumb. It's hard to tell at this point. Ruffalo has a host of projects set to drop in the coming months, and despite a solid performance as always, is still probably trying to forget he was part of Mickey 17. AMC Theaters recently announced they would play more commercials before movies to help offset a budget deficit. That's probably not something most moviegoers wanted to hear, but in a move in the other direction, beginning July 8, the movie chain will offer 50% off tickets on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. The chain has also announced they will offer discount popcorn and soda on those days. This will allow the movie-going public to save a few bucks while still trying to add a few extra pounds. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Dry and sunny today, with calm winds and comfortable conditions with highs in the low 80s. And it won't be too humid either. That holds off until tomorrow, becoming more muggy, partly sunny, highs will make it to the mid-80s. Then a chance of some storms tomorrow afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 73 degrees at our studios.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety.
CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, I'll be joined by Celly Flores, a DACA recipient. We'll explore what it was like watching the 2024 election unfold, what it's like now watching Donald Trump attack immigrants from coast to coast.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
I'm a hot mama jamma, I jam in my pajamas, I put on my pajamas, and then I go bananas. I'm a hot mama jamma, I jam in my pajamas.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B, bringing it. Coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, Brewers are going to be hosting the Dodgers in a little bit. Our broadcast starts today at 12:35. And if you would like to listen to the game as the crew hopefully take another one from the Dodgers, our broadcast starts 12:35. Listen to the game on terrestrial radio on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN here in Racine and Kenosha, WCQM Park Falls, and our newest affiliate in Hayward, WBZH.
We've already won the series because we took 2 out of 3 games. If we sweep the Dodgers,
you'll just be over the moon.
I will be in hog heaven.
I know.
I will be in hog heaven. I'll be so happy.
We'll be talking sports tomorrow.
Yeah, we will.
At this time.
Oh, yeah.
So hopefully we'll
take a back seat, Bucks. Brewers time.
Hopefully we'll have another victory to talk about tomorrow when we talk a little bit about sports. Right now, though, it is the portion of the program we call Audio Sorbet. It's where we lighten things up to take a breath. Cleansing for the ears. A cleansing for the... Just a break for your brain.
Break for our brains,
break for our brains, too. That's not a bad point. Do you pajama? This is apropos of absolutely nothing, but it was something that came up last week.
So, no, it was...
Well, off the air when we were kicking around in the office before we came on the air.
In this room, and we have a television that plays behind us running the news, so it's no wonder we're always in such a bad mood. And there was just a commercial with a gentleman wearing traditional pajamas, which, you know, the button down top and the pants
and
PJ pants.
Yeah.
And I just found it interesting that it was such a, I'm going to say it, old timey image, because I don't think I know a single person who wears traditional pajamas like the button down. And I'm going to speak from the men's side of it because, like, you know. But even women's versions are the same thing. It's the button down, long sleeve shirt, and
the same
pants.
Kind of, but if you're gonna, it's a nightgown.
A nightgown, which I would say is monumentally more comfortable, in my opinion, because for me personally, I do not pajama in the traditional. I mean, I wear what I would call my PJs, and that's just, sorry folks, a pair of shorts. Because anything beyond that, I'm tossing and turning.
It's too much.
Can't wear a shirt in bed. It's just weird. And people who are like, I slept in my clothes last night. I'm like, how did you sleep at all then? Because
I don't get that
seems
at all.
Impossible. So the image of a gentleman just wearing his pajamas, being like, I'm about to go to bed now. I'm like, wow, they're still doing that?
They look so neat, they look so neat.
Yes, absolutely. They're not wrinkled or like, you know, there's not a button
freshly
missing.
Ironed pajamas.
Exactly.
I'm sure it's different if you have children. If you have kids who might be walking in your room in the middle of the night or waking you up in the middle of the night, you probably wear more traditional pajamas. Mm-hmm. Don't you think?
I don't know. I mean, no.
Or at least have a rope nearby.
No, growing up in my family, my dad wore shorts to bed, too. And he didn't wear... No, we never wore a shirt.
My father wore pajamas.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's... I think our parents are as different ages. So.
Just by about 20 or 30 years. Do you pajama? 855-752-4842. If not, like Greg, what substitutes for your pajamas?
What are your PJs?
What are your PJs? 855-752-4842. Breaking down the really important topics right now during Audio Sorbet. I love the commercials when I see them at Christmas, because that always seems to be buy mom new pajamas and a fluffy robe.
Yeah.
Or they used to sell some really, really expensive like pajamagram things. Those were like $95.
Oh, yeah. Those are still around. Like, you want your husband's face on your pajamas? And I'd be like, I don't want anyone's face on my pajamas. There was a great SNL sketch about that where it was... You know, it was a four person family. The The dad got a watch. The kid got a laptop. The other kid got a smartwatch. And the mom's like, I got a robe.
Oh, nice.
Like, just that notion of, like, get mom a robe. Is that what she wants?
And how many robes do you go through in a year?
I just have the one robe that I literally have had the same robe for, like, 20 years. And
right.
It's comfy. It's wonderful. And I will never get rid of it.
And it does the job.
Exactly.
Of a robe.
Exactly.
Do You Pajama, 855-752-4842. Sarah from Green Bay, listening on WGBW. I love the long t-shirt type pajamas. I own at least 10 of them.
Yeah.
Cool.
And that's like, I feel like that's a modern take on a nightgown. Is that right? Yeah, nightgown.
Yeah,
nightgown. Because, yes, you want to be covered, but you also don't want to be constricted. And I feel like traditional pajamas restrict you. Yes.
If you would like to join this earth-shattering conversation. Do You Pajama at 855-752-4842. Whistler from Racine is on the line. Good morning, Whistler. What pajamas? Yes? No? Some other thing? What are you pajama-ing in?
I wear just my drawers and a tank top.
There you go.
And I'm comfortable, light blanket over me. The wife, she wears a nightgown and tucks herself in. It's just bizarre.
You should talk to my husband, Whistler, because he says the same thing about me. He's nuts. In the house, I wear a sweatshirt because we have the air conditioning on and I'm always cold.
Yeah. Well, why don't you turn the air conditioning off?
Because then
it
gets too hot.
Oh, my God.
I'm just happy the way I am. Leave me alone. Right, Whistler?
Sweat too much. And I'm in RC. Richland Center.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, not Racine. Richland Center. Sorry about that, Whistler.
Yeah. Our mistake.
Sorry about that. Appreciate it. Thank you for calling in. You can join us as well at 855-752-4842. Do You Pajama? If you don't, what's your alternative? Jesse from Dane County listening on WAUK. I do not pajama. Haven't since high school. I've got to be free to move while I sleep.
There you go.
And John from Oshkosh. Listening on WAUK. How does Greg know nightgowns are more comfy? I'm a shorts at night guy, too.
I got two answers for you, John from Oshkosh. One, it just seems like a logical conclusion. It's a flowy piece of fabric.
As opposed to a pair of pants.
Exactly. And two, if I knew, I'd tell you. I am not ashamed.
See, and plus, I can't do nightgowns.
Plus, also, men used to wear nightgowns. They used to wear a long...
Watch Scrooge.
Yes, exact. Watch any version of A Christmas Carol, and you will see the long frock that men used to wear to bed, along with a hat. I don't understand the hat. Why would you wear a hat to bed?
That's a really interesting question. We'll have to look at that. John says, no judgment, friend.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure there's no judgment. I'm sure there's a judgment.
Do You Pajama at 855-752-4842. If not, what do you wear? When we were kids, I think that was a Christmas thing for us. We always all, because there were six of us.
Yeah.
So we all got, like, matching pajamas of some kind or another.
Yes.
And ours... I believe I always got nightgowns. I never did we didn't get the top and the bottom PJs.
My sister, who, by the way, happy birthday, Amy, today is her birthday.
Happy birthday, Amy.
Even to this day, and the kids are, will be 20, is 20 and 24 this year. Still, every year, always get new pajamas. Every year. Yeah. And it's they open them on Christmas Eve.
And they wear them.
And they model them and they're like, look at us. And, you know, they're essentially adults, but they still love that tradition of getting new pajamas, especially for my nephew, Ben, who went from being 4'5" to 8'11". He is a tall drink of water of a human being. But yeah, I mean, I think that's fun. But it's also a t-shirt and what we call cloud pants are very soft. They're
cotton.
No. Well, yeah, yes, but like there's even softer. Like there's a soft. Yes. So every year they get those. And those are their pajamas and they would wear them until the next year and whatnot. But yeah, there's more of a tradition than like, well, it's time for me to get ready for bed and I must take my watch off and wind it for tomorrow.
And my Tuesday pajamas.
Exactly.
Do You Pajama? 855-752-4842. Calvin, resident young person, I'm curious what things are like in the Butenoff household.
Well, I've never really been a big on pajamas. I just, as Whistler put it, I sleep in my drawers. I'd like to have, I need to have a t-shirt on because I don't like the feeling of my arm touching my skin on skin of myself for whatever reason.
Fair enough.
But yeah, I don't really like pajamas. I know my dad is the same way. He just wears underwear and he takes his shirt off. My mom, I think, wears a nightgown. But yeah, we're not really big on pajamas in my house.
I can't nightgown.
Is it weird that every time I think about someone having a night, whether it's a man or a woman, I just also think of them holding a candle with the, like, the
with a hat on their
yeah,
head.
Like, yeah, like, ooh, it's spooky down here. What woke me up tonight?
I'm a very restless sleeper, and my legs go, I'm kicking all over the place. And nightgowns drove me crazy. It just drove me crazy. So I wear a t-shirt. I wear a cotton t-shirt.
I don't think so. I think because of the CPAP and I'm sleeping deeper now, I'm getting better sleep. I don't think my legs kick as much as they used to. But I used to kick my legs so much that I would wear a hole in the sheets.
I've done that.
Yes, you have. Okay, that's fine. Admit it.
And almost every morning when I wake up, the corner of the bed at the bottom is out.
Especially when you're in a hotel, because you're like, I feel like I paid for this. I paid for a more convenient sleep.
Hotels are so bad that I have to go loosen it up from the corner, because otherwise, because they're so tight when you stay at a hotel.
I like the tightness
that it's going to fight me back.
But at the corner by the pillow, it always comes up. It always comes up, and you do that weird thing where you try to lift your body with one motion to try to get it back down. No, but that never works.
That's not going to work. No, that's a nice try, but uh-uh.
Yeah,
uh-uh.
Yeah.
Do you pajama? 855-752-4842. Bill from Waukesha says no.
All right, well, there is an answer.
Au naturel. Fair enough. I have no problem with that.
Yeah, I mean, if
you're comfy.
That's a confidence I'll never own, but, you know, hey, you do your thing.
Be happy.
To quote John from Oshkosh, no judgment here, friend.
Yes, no, everything in between.
Yeah.
That works.
Mean, honestly, like, if you want to wear the traditional pajamas, go for it. If that's what you're comfy with, if that's what you like, then, hey, do your thing, jelly bean. I knew somebody who used to sleep in full pajamas, and she wore all the things you would wear during the day as well, including socks. I don't get it.
Wait.
Yeah.
She would wear a bra?
Yeah. Yep.
To bed?
Yep.
To sleep?
Yeah.
And she slept?
I guess. I wasn't there. That would be weird. Because I'd be like, hey, I need to experiment and understand why you're doing it. But yeah, she...
Yeah, you don't want to...
And it was in that tone of like, yeah, it's just what I do because that's what I'm comfortable with sleeping. I'm like, I don't understand how you could be comfortable sleeping like that. But, you know, again...
No judgment, friend.
No judgment.
No judgment.
Do your thing, jelly bean.
No judgment.
Live your life. I'm just going to assume all those who didn't flood our phone lines or text lines with calls and texts with information on this matter, they all wear flowy nightgowns.
You think that's what it is? With
men,
a cap?
Men, women, and my non-binary friends, they all just, yeah, and a cap.
And a cap.
And pince-nez, like is it the glasses that go on the bridge of your nose. They're all people who lived in the 20s.
Whatever.
That's what I want.
Okay. If that makes you happy.
It makes me so happy.
Last word, Calvin, or are we good?
Well, I just think that, not that I've never worn a nightgown, not that I'm saying I wouldn't be open to it, but they're historically, I think, neutral gendered.
Yes.
Grandpa Joe from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory wears a nightgown.
Yes, he does.
Good point.
I think all of them do.
All right. When we return, we will wrap up the show with this shouldn't be a thing. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Mayer on Air. This is the vast statewide, countrywide, global on the app, Civic Media Radio Network.
I put on my pajamas and then I go banana. I'm a hot mama jamma. I jam in my pajamas. I put on my pajamas and then I go banana.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter. Experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single-game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
Time for for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. The Wisconsin Supreme Court hands a big win to the environment. The court ruled it's unconstitutional for a legislative committee to block rules created by state agencies. The decision means good environmental rules now face an easier path to getting to the finish line and becoming law. For years, legislative vetoes by a handful of legislators stymied a long list of environmental protections. After more than 30 years, the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program is going unfunded. Money for the legacy program was stripped out of the budget by the Joint Committee on Finance. The program helps preserve our state's wildlife areas and fisheries through land purchases and grants. Now that the budget has been signed, it's unclear how the vital program will continue, although there is talk of a standalone bill that would revive it. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor, Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to, like, bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Years ago, I had I think I had a rainbow. No, it was a shirt. It was given to me, and I wore it because I support all people. And a friend of mine, like, you sure you want to walk around in that? You know, a t-shirt, people might think. I'm like, people might think I'm a human being that supports other human beings. I wear sports jerseys sometimes. No one ever says, are you worried people are going to think you're on the Cubs?
I don't think anyone would think that, though.
Oh, you haven't seen my curveball.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Cal B on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Tomorrow is Thursday already.
Whoa.
We had a short week.
We had two short weeks.
We did. Mm-hmm. But tomorrow is Thursday already. So that means that Jim Santel will be here, mm-hmm. our friend and colleague from Amicus, a law review. He has a great show on Saturday mornings from 9 to 11 across the network. Lots of things to talk about with Jim Santel.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, regarding immigration and legal immigration and all, there's so many things trying to keep track of. So Jim Santel will be here in hour number two. Brittany Merlot, Civic Media's award-winning meteorologist, mm-hmm. will be back for a little weather and wine. And then is it JR tomorrow?
Tomorrow is J.R. Radcliffe.
J.R. Radcliffe back. From the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel will be joining us after the 10:30 news to talk back. All things sports. Hopefully, we'll be talking about that sweep.
Yeah, Brewers sweep. Do it. Hopefully I believe in you, the Brewers.
The Brewers will sweep the Dodgers today. That is all coming your way tomorrow, so I hope you can join us for that. Right now, though, Calvin, it is 10:54. That means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever find a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us, JaneSays, janesays@civicmedia.us. Calvin, again, finding this one.
Mm-hmm.
From The Verge, headline reads, and there's no byline on this, unfortunately. The headline reads, AI is ruining houseplant communities.
Are you? Well, I don't understand what the laugh is for, because you're a houseplant person. You love plants.
I love plants.
Yeah.
I guess I laugh because it seems ludicrous to me.
Okay.
People are seeing AI-generated images online of plants that don't exist. And then they go to their local garden center and say, I want the black bleeding heart, like I saw online.
It's a terrible name for something.
Well, there are bleeding hearts. They're white and pink. But AI generated a picture of a black bleeding heart. And yeah. So we have people showing up gardening store stores going, I want this plant that I saw. It doesn't exist.
So at that point, shouldn't the person holding the picture in their hand or their phone in their hand go, oh, my mistake, I'm sorry, and walk out and then just live their life in quiet contemplation of the choices they make?
But the bigger problem is plant care misinformation is being regurgitated by AI chatbots and apps. So if you're going to, like, clip your leaf cuttings to help them grow, or you want to use cinnamon, AI is now a part of a larger misinformation ecosystem that includes plant influencers. Plant influencers exist. They are citing sources that don't exist.
Yeah.
Sound like the Trump administration. And repeating plant care myths.
I mean, it makes total sense. Well, no, let's take the walk to this. We have the internet. We have social media. In social media, we have influencers. We have influencers for darn near everything.
Yes.
There shouldn't be any shock that there are plant influencers. And just like exercise influencers and music influencers and news and politics influencers, misinformation is going to, there's no reason why the plant talk, if I'm going to start, I'm calling that.
I like that.
I just called it that. Plant talk.
Plant talk.
Shouldn't be the victim of the same thing. Of course, there are going to be people out there who are going to either misuse their expertise for various reasons, usually for paid promotion, or people who don't know what they're talking about speaking out of pocket and saying, hey, get yourself a black bleeding heart plant. And whatever.
And pour salt on it.
It doesn't matter to them what you do. Because they want your engagement, they want your comments,
want the click,
the share, and they definitely want you to come back and say, hey, this isn't real, this is AI, how dare blah, 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 because it's all engagement. That's all the things
matter. That's all that matters.
So, of course, plant talk has a rot in the roots.
Oh, look at you.
You listening, WBA?
Most plant communities on Reddit actually ban AI-generated images. Very strong feelings against AI-generated plant care advice. Some community members say it's just wrong and don't take human variables into account. Plant care varies where the plant owner lives. If you're a beginner or you're more experienced, and certainly the conditions in your house and all of these things play into this. I guess the whole point is be a little more suspicious.
Do two Google searches.
Two, yes.
And also, be nice to the people at the plant store if you've fallen victim to this hoax. And also, poor people at the plant store who now have to educate themselves on this aspect of life. They just want to be in the plant world and love plants and talk about them. Now they have to rebuff and defend now. And Tony Zimmerman has a great fix for this whole thing. If you have black paint, then you can have a black bleeding heart. Perfect. Thank you for providing solutions, Tony.
Tony, we'll just go to him.
Exactly.
We'll go to Tony's and he'll answer everything for us. That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It really means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. Keep it right here. We got news coming up next on the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Former President Joe Biden's White House doctor, Kevin O'Connor, was questioned by the White House or the House Oversight Committee behind closed doors this morning. He asserted physician-patient privilege in declining to answer any questions regarding Biden's health when Biden occupied the Oval Office. The death toll in Central Texas, 110 people, with more than 170 unaccounted for. Flooding claiming more lives in New Mexico as well. Here's ABC's Jim Ryan.
In the same area scorched by wildfires last year. Heavy rain sent rivers around Rio Doso out of their banks. Rio Doso Mayor Lynn Crawford says warnings were issued.
We knew it was coming in, but it just intensified so quickly.
A man and two children, 7 and 4, died after being swept away in New Mexico floodwaters. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Linda Yaccarino stepping down as CEO of X. She calls her time there the opportunity of a lifetime. This is ABC News.